Welcome to Nightlights. This is David Brent Johnson, and for the next hour, we'll be playing the music of a saxophonist and flutist whose mid-1960s group won a following among young rock fans and helped launch the careers of pianist Keith Jarrett and drummer Jack DeJohnette. It's Jazz Flower Power, the Charles Lloyd Quartet, coming up on this edition of Nightlights.
Thank you.
an early edition of the Charles Lloyd Quartet, performing Lloyd's composition in the title track from Of Course, Of Course, with Lloyd on flute, Gabor Szabo on guitar, Ron Carter on bass, and Tony Williams on drums, recorded in 1965. He is a sight, a Time magazine journalist wrote of a jazz saxophonist in 1967, just a few months before the Summer of Love. A one-man happening in steel-rimmed glasses, World War I army tunic, orange and black striped pants, drooping mustache, scraggly goatee, fuzzy-wuzzy hairdo, and he is a sound, a wild, free singing sound that assaults the frontiers of jazz. The saxophonist was Charles Lloyd, leader of a recently formed quartet that was taking the music world by storm. Lloyd had come up in the vital Memphis music scene of the 1950s, studied at USC, and then played with drummer Chico Hamilton and saxophonist Cannonball Adderley in the early 1960s before going out on his own. He eventually recruited a young pianist he'd heard in Boston, Keith Jarrett, and a young drummer as well, Jack DeJohnette, along with bassist Cecil McBee, and gave them great creative liberty, resulting in a sound that incorporated aspects of free jazz, soul jazz, calypso and Latin styles, and post-bop, with Lloyd drawing on both his Memphis roots and the influence of John Coltrane. Legendary jazz producer George Avakian, the man who signed Miles Davis to Columbia Records, played a key role in the group's rise to renown in 1966 and 67. He had first encountered Lloyd while recording Chico Hamilton's group.
Lloyd was a very ambitious young man, and he told Chico that he would like to go out on his own, and Chico and Bert Corral of Metronome Magazine both suggested to him that they speak to me because I might be interested in helping his career.
Avakian was impressed enough by Lloyd's talent and charisma to finance the saxophonist's first two leader dates. When Jarrett and DeJohnette, two future jazz greats, came on board, Avakian sensed that an exciting musical dynamic was in the works. Despite his work with Hamilton and Adderley, Lloyd was largely an unknown in America, and Avakian devised a plan that he hoped would bring the quartet success in the States in a roundabout manner via an overseas tour.
I had seen what could be done in Europe with a young American jazz musicians who would be accepted by the critics, especially in Sweden and in France, to a degree that didn't exist in America. So what I decided to do was stick my neck out and pay for a tour in Europe with no reputation to go by, and just the cooperation of the people that I knew.
European audiences and critics responded with overwhelming enthusiasm to the new quartet, and Avakian even managed to score them a gig with the promoter of the prestigious Antibes Festival.
I persuaded him to absolutely stone-blindly engage the Lloyd Quartet for June before it ever even got to Europe. I promised him that my judgment was going to be good enough for some strong reviews, and I never realized how good they would be.
Here's music from the first quartet album to be recorded with Keith Jarrett and Jack DeJohnette, Dervish Dance from Dreamweaver on Nightlights. tenor saxophonist Charles Lloyd with Dervish Dance from the 1966 album Dreamweaver, with Keith Jarrett on piano, Cecil McBee on bass, and Jack DeJohnette on drums. George Avakian's European plan worked. In the fall of 1966, Lloyd played at the U.S. Monterey Jazz Festival and was a hit, with the recording of the concert subsequently doing brisk sales. At a time when, as one journalist put it, the jazz world seemed to be dividing into musical styles of heard it all before and never want to hear it again, the Lloyd Quartet sounded adventurous yet accessible to many listeners. George Avakian on what he thinks put the Lloyd band across.
One word, communication. I think that the music that the quartet produced drew an immediate response from the audiences, even though it was slow in the United States. And when I say slow, it was relatively slow, because the success at the Monterey Festival, where I made the live recording of Forest Flower, and the live recordings made at the Fillmore, indicate the kind of enthusiasm that those rather specialized audiences had. It did not go to the point of acceptance in jazz clubs and other areas of exposure for musicians to the extent, say, that the Dave Rubeck Quartet took off in 1955 and 6. Nevertheless, the success was quite enormous.
Here's Charles Lloyd at Monterey in 1966 performing Forest Flower, Sunrise on Nightlights. Thank you. Saxophonist Charles Lloyd, an excerpt from his performance of Forest Flower, Sunset. And we also heard Forest Flower, Sunrise from the album Forest Flower, Charles Lloyd at Monterey. Lloyd backed by Keith Jarrett on piano, Cecil McBee on bass, and Jack DeJohnette on drums. We'll have more music from the Charles Lloyd Quartet in just a few moments. Production support for this program comes from the Laughing Planet Cafe and Soma Coffee House and Juice Bar, located on the corner of Kirkwood and Grant in Bloomington, Indiana. This is David Brent Johnson, and you're listening to Jazz Flower Power, Charles Lloyd, on Nightlights.
Yeah.
We're playing music of the Charles Lloyd Quartet on this edition of Nightlights. The Lloyd Quartet found favor among the young rock audiences of the late 1960s, and the group played on the same bills as artists such as Janis Joplin and the Grateful Dead. It also began to dress in a colorful manner, one of the reasons it earned the media moniker of the first psychedelic jazz quartet. Trumpeter Miles Davis followed it with interest, and its popularity helped pave the way for Davis's and other jazz musicians' fusion experiments as the 1960s ended. Lloyd told journalist Bert Corral that, "I want to extend music beyond its previous limits while retaining the lyrical, earthy feeling that has been part of jazz since the beginning." He also voiced a philosophy in tune with the times, saying, "I like to take people on nice little trips," and telling a reporter from Time, "I play about the unity of everything, the love, the totality, like bringing everyone together in a joyous dance. I play love vibrations." Such statements, coupled with the quartet's sudden and wide popularity, tended to provoke ambivalence in certain quarters of the jazz world. And in a 1968 New York Times article titled, "Can Charles Lloyd Save Jazz?" critic Martin Williams labeled the saxophonist a showbiz John Coltrane. George Avakian retains a more positive opinion of why the quartet's music went over so well with youthful rock audiences.
At the Fillmore, for example, Bill Graham said, "You know, these kids, they don't even know that they're listening to jazz, but they love it. It had a communication quality which was remarkably broad."
Thank you.
Charles Lloyd live at the Fillmore in San Francisco in 1967, the title track from his Atlantic LP, Journey Within, with Lloyd on flute, Keith Jarrett on piano, and Jack DeJohnette on drums, also contributing background chants as well, and Ron McClure on bass. In early 1967, Charles Lloyd told a Time magazine reporter that he feared he might end up like other young jazz musicians who had experienced early artistic or commercial success. "So few have really gotten through," he said. "That's what terrifies me. Women have taken them, or drugs, or something else has happened to prevent their expressions from going on. I haven't seen anybody do what I've done so soon and not get snuffed out somewhere." At the end of 1967, he'd be named Downbeat's Jazz Musician of the Year, but as time went on, he would succumb to the very forces he feared. Drug abuse and allegations of fiscal exploitation of his sidemen eventually led to Jarrett and DeJohnette's leaving the group. Within a year, they'd be hired by Miles Davis, who had kept a keen eye on the Lloyd Quartet. George Avakian laments the demise of what he considered to be such a successful and still promising group, and says that by the end of 1968, Lloyd was having difficulty simply composing and playing music.
I remember I managed to get an engagement to do a commercial for some kind of a product, and Charles came in with the music that he had written, and they tried to play it, and it was just impossible. And he yelled at Keith Jarrett and said, "Just play what I wrote." Jarrett said, "That's what I played, and it makes no sense," and that was true.
By the end of the 60s, Lloyd had retreated into seclusion. He would spend the next 20 years studying meditation, selling real estate, appearing on some rock records by the Beach Boys and other groups in the early 70s, and making occasional forays back into the jazz world before signing with ECM in 1989, beginning a long association that would eventually result in a series of critically well-received CDs and a second chapter to his career. We'll close with a performance from the Lloyd Quartet's triumphant visit to the Soviet Union in 1967. Charles Lloyd, who at the height of his fame in the 1960s said, "Life is a dance. If man isn't dancing, I worry," playing tribal dance for a jazz-starved Russian audience on Nightlights.
We'll be right back.
We closed with Charles Lloyd performing Tribal Dance from Charles Lloyd and the Soviet Union with Keith Jarrett on piano, Ron McClure on bass, and Jack DeJohnette on drums. Thanks for tuning in to this edition of Nightlights. Special thanks to George Avakian. You can listen to this and other Nightlights programs and view playlists, jazz news, and commentaries on our website at nightlights.indiana.edu. Production support for Nightlights comes from the Laughing Planet Cafe and Soma Coffee House and Juice Bar on the corner of Kirkwood and Grant in Bloomington, Indiana. Nightlights is produced and engineered in the studios of WFIU at Indiana University. This is David Brent Johnson wishing you good listening for the week ahead. Thank you.